Chapter 4 Games We Play. Remy watched Veronica lean back in her chair and look up at the ceiling of her bedroom from the hallway. It wasn't the first time he'd stalked her. After she came back from Kai's gathering, where Lucius slaughtered any and all demon there, she walked slowly to her room where she stayed for 2 days. During those 2 days, he stood outside her door, listening to her breathe erratically, sob hysterically, and tell herself that everything was going to be all right. During that frantic time, he wanted nothing but to walk in and comfort her in his arms, and at the same time gently seduce her, only to take just a little of her life force to sustain him through the day. Now she searched her notes savagely, setting a few pieces of paper aside while crumpling others and tossing them in the corner with her other unwanted notes. The pile grew in size with each crumpled paper. He felt sure that she was looking for something or anything that could convince her that her mother wasn't dead. He watched the beads of sweat trickle down the sides of her face and she wiped them with the back of her hand. She sipped her coffee. One document she held up to the dim light in her room, read a few lines, then proceeded to toss it in her wanted pile. Her actions slightly turned him on, and his mind went unbridled with what he could do to her. What she needed was to be protected, and Remy felt he was the only one who could offer her that chance. Lucius's promise to Veronica's mother fell through, and Anastasia became preoccupied with her mission to rid the city of any remaining demon who supported Kai. Veronica reminded him so much of Doll, the servant girl his human parents hired before Remy became a demon. Those days of his human existence seemed like a long time ago. What he did remember, he kept close, writing down those thoughts he felt he'd forget forever. He'd admired Doll and loved her secretly. It was unthinkable for someone in his class of wealthy bourgeoisie to have any desire to copulate with a servant girl. But no one knew him like she did, and he kept their relationship hidden from his parents and from his younger sister, Marie. That all changed when his parents were murdered in 1848. The people of France rose in insurrection and his parents became casualties in the uprising. All their servants left to join the protesters, except for Doll. The time felt right to Remy, and he promised to take her and his sister away from the turmoil, to land his parents owned outside of Paris. Instead, he ran into Julian, his sire. He never knew what happened to his sister. As a new demon, any thoughts regarding the well-being of a human became non-existent. Yet now here he was, standing outside the door, watching Veronica wallow in her confusion. The thought of siring Veronica crossed his mind. Siring a demon wasn't like siring a vampire. It didn't take a night. It took several nights, depending. And even then, there was a high chance that the human wouldn't survive. He questioned taking that chance. Veronica stacked the papers that remained and she placed them in the top drawer of her desk. Remy sensed her thoughts of being frustrated and the fact that she felt uncomfortable in Blind Bluff Manor ate at her. She questioned why she remained there, among demon, who she partially blamed for her mother's death. She longed to know what happened to her best friend, Sean, who was taken back to San Diego by orders from her father, president of the Midwest Division of the Brotherhood. Remy quietly knocked on her bedroom door, and Veronica quickly stood up from her seat. "What do you want, Remy?" She breathed in heavy, and she placed her hands on her tiny waist. "To rip you open." Remy closed his eyes, then reopened them. "Just thought you needed company." "Well, I don't." "Everyone needs company once in a while, even a demon." He walked in slowly. "I don't need your company. I'm perfectly fine alone." "That's not what your thoughts tell me," he replied, and sat on the edge of her bed. She exhaled and returned to her stack of papers. "You know, sometimes I wish you were a vampire so I can take back my invitation and kick you out of my room." "Doesn't work like that." He tapped the side of his forehead in thought. "Actually, I don't know how that works." He watched her walk over to the stack of crumpled papers and began to gather them. He stood up and approached her. She slightly jumped at his presence and stood back while he began to clean her corner quickly. placing the balls of paper in her trash. "Why are you doing this?" Ignoring her question, Remy glanced back at her. "You're going to need another trash bag." Veronica held up her hands. "Just stop! Stop it! Right now!" Remy stood up. "I want you out of here." "I'm helping you tidy up your space, that's it." "No, you're up to something." Remy sensed emptiness emanating from her as she raised her voice. He didn't understand why she strained to come to the realization that he only wanted to help her. "I scare you." Confused, Veronica paused. "What?" "I'm sorry if I'm scaring you, Veronica. I just want to help." "You can help by leaving my room." "You just remind me of someone I used to know. One of your many victims." Veronica rolled her eyes. "No, someone I knew when I was human. A woman I was madly in love with." Veronica's eyes narrowed in on him. "You were in love with someone?" Her researcher side began to show. He knew that besides searching for her mother, she also investigated the backgrounds of himself and Anastasia. At one point, she investigated Hallie's history, trying to help her find whoever sired her. "I don't know how to approach you and make you feel not scared of me," he said. "I don't know what I can do to make you feel safe around me." "You're a demon," she replied. "I'll never feel safe around you." "But you don't have to be." Veronica huffed. "What have you done that wouldn't make me scared of you? Think about it." He paused. He couldn't come up with one solid explanation. "I could kill you right now if I wanted," he replied. "But I'm not, because I don't want to." Veronica shook her head in disgust. "There are a lot of things you'll never understand." "I get it. I get it." His eyes lit up. "You think that I won't ever be able to act human. That I will never ever know passion, desire, and love because I'm a demon." "Damn right." In demon speed, he quickly ran over to her bed. He saw in her eyes that their speed astonished her. It always astonished humans because it looked like a blur to them, followed by a slight gust of wind. "I'm not playing a game, Veronica." He paused and he hummed. "Unless you want me to." He sat on the edge of the bed and he laid back. "See, this is exactly why I won't ever trust you, Remy. You're disgusting." She walked over to the bed. "If you won't leave my room, then I will." He moved quickly and he grasped her in his arms. She stared back into his brown eyes and she quickly looked away. "Am I hurting you?" Veronica attempted to push herself away, but Remy increased his grip. He liked it when they fought back. "I could hurt you, but again, I don't want to." She struggled again, and he moved in closer, sniffing her neck. His eyes rolled back in pleasure. "I'm being serious. I want to help you." At that moment, he wanted her. Not all of her, but just a taste. Enough to satisfy his craving for human. He heard footsteps outside of her room, and before he could react, he saw Anastasia standing in the doorway. When their eyes met, he slowly released his grip, and Veronica quickly moved away from him. He loathed Anastasia. Somehow she always knew when to crash on his parade and show her dominance, being the oldest demon in the manor. He pretended to take her threats lightly, knowing that she could easily kill him. But he wasn't afraid of anyone or anything. Plus, her recent behavior changed after Lucius' release, and he started to notice her doubts when it came to destroying sanctuaries. "Come to crash my party?" Anastasia moved quickly, and she stood face to face with Remy. She spoke with clenched teeth. "Veronica is still protected." "By who?" "You." Remy waved her off. "If she doesn't want my help, all she needs to say is no." "No," Veronica said. "I don't need your help." He caught his breath in thought. He knew the only thing Veronica wanted more was her mother, who was dead. What better way to fuel her frustration by offering the next best thing? "Even if I told you I could help you get revenge on the Brotherhood and your father for the death of your mother." Anastasia quickly pushed Remy aside with force, and he slammed against the wall, falling to the floor. He quickly stood to his feet and wiped himself off. "I guess that is a no, after all." Anastasia grabbed Remy by his shirt, and she slammed him against the wall again. "A bit overreacting now, aren't we?" He grabbed her by her wrists, and he yanked himself free from her. With one swoop, he pushed her back. "All I'm saying is, what if?" He watched her body tense up. "Anastasia, I know you're doing this for Lucius, because you guys are like clothes or something, and you follow all his commands, even if they're wrong." Her eyes slowly changed from brown to a stark black, and her Ramanga fangs dropped from her gums, signaling she was preparing herself to attack. Knowing that if he fought her back, she would possibly maim or kill him, Remy headed for the door. "I'm not going to fight you, Anna." He looked over his shoulder at Veronica. "Like humans say, revenge is a dish best served cold. Think it over, Veronica. Your choice." Before he walked out of the room, Anastasia spoke. "Nathan wants you to come down to the study." Remy turned around. "For what?" She looked back at Veronica. "And you as well. Must be important." Remy rubbed his hands together. "Guess we should be going then." Anastasia moved past him and walked down the hallway. "You're very annoying, Remy." "I could say the same for you," he replied. "But something tells me you don't care." "You're right. I don't." In demon speed, he caught up to her. "Well, that's a damn shame. I thought you were learning to care." Anastasia walked forward and pushed him aside. "Move out of my way." "Or what?" Remy laughed. "You're going to manhandle me like you did back there. The all and mighty powerful Anastasia versus the annoying Lamia." He continued to watch as she disappeared down the stairs and to the foyer. She stopped just shy of the study, watching Nathan standing near the fireplace mantel in deep conversation. Veronica caught up to Remy, and before descending the stairs, he whispered slowly, "The Brotherhood is a vast organization, Veronica, but I'm sure you know that." "I don't need your help," she whispered back. "You sure about that?" "There's nothing you can do to bring down the Brotherhood. Bringing down an organization like that is quite easy, really." He stood on the stairs. "You just need to know the right buttons to push." He leaned over the balcony and watched Anastasia below. Eventually, Anna's going to realize that her big sister routine is running out of steam and even she can't protect you. Veronica headed down the stairs and toward the foyer when Remy spoke up again. "I personally think you have every right to go after the Brotherhood for what they did to your mother. Everyone has the right to seek revenge. Anna decimates sanctuaries just for kicks. Lucius is hunting down Kai to the ends of the earth. Why can't you have your fun?" "That's different." "No, not really." His response left her stirring in her own thought. He slowly descended the stairs, catching up with her. "Killing is killing." "You have no idea what's truly going on, Remy," Anastasia scoffed. "Maybe not everything, but I think I know what's going on with you," he replied. "You can't fool me. You're changing. You're starting to actually care." He continued his barrage. "I have to admit, it's a little awkward for me to watch the old bloodthirsty Anna slipping away." "The only thing you care about is drama," Anastasia replied quietly. "True, but I hope you know that I really do miss the old Anna. I found her rather sexy." He now stood only inches from her and grabbed her hand and placed it on his chest. The Anastasia he heard about in his past was nothing like the Anastasia now. Maniacal, heartless. All Demon feared her and her sire. She killed anyone in her path. Demon, humans, researchers, and vampires. She betrayed the demon she sired, and she never thought twice about killing anyone or anything. "I wish I had a reputation like you." He moved her hand toward his right breast, then over to his left. They glazed over his pierced nipples, and he finally moved her hand toward his belly button. He looked to Veronica, who stood just a few feet from them. "You know, Veronica, none of those researchers who have ever followed me got it right. What they wrote in those crappy books about me, it made me look like a saint compared to Anna, What they wrote about your current housemate was absolute perfection. Release me! He watched as Anastasia's eyes grew dark and void. I remembered my sire telling me about the scary Romanga. He placed his hand underneath her chin and pulled her in close. He said if I ever crossed her to run the other way, he feared her as much as any other demon did. He moved in a little closer, expecting Anastasia to throw him off, possibly breaking a few of his bones in the process. Instead, she didn't resist. Remy scoured her thoughts and found them empty. He placed his lips over her mouth, and at that moment, he took advantage. He sucked, feeling her essence entering his mouth. He didn't prefer the taste of a demon to a human. It made him cringe, and if he decided to drain her completely, he too would fall victim. However, Anastasia's essence had a sweet yet tart taste that he found to be addictive. He felt her energy traveling through his system. It jolted him at full attention, and he wanted more until the energy suddenly changed. It felt weak and heavy, and its taste turned wretched. As quickly as it began, she pushed him away with such force that Remy tumbled back, catching himself. What in the hell are you doing? Anastasia screamed at him. He wiped his mouth and laughed slightly. His body felt weak. I just wanted a taste. He watched her blurred movements as she reached for the wooden handle on the staircase, ripping it from the ledge. The sound of wood splintering only meant one thing, and he tried to move, knowing his reaction time was less evolved than hers. Taking the sharpest edge of the piece, she rammed it into his right breast. Pain shot through his entire body and he gasped, quickly falling to his knees. He gripped the wood, trying to yank it out, but the more he pulled, the more the pain burned at his insides. He never understood the significance of wood and how it played an important role to demon. Sharp or dull, small or big, wood was like kryptonite, a thorn in the side of demon. A small shard could weaken them, making them vulnerable. Taking one to the heart meant instant death, while taking one to any other part of the body just felt annoying. Now this was the Anastasia he knew, the Anastasia he missed. He loved playing with fire, playing with her emotions, and the thought of coming close to death became enough to excite him for another go around. He smirked, and he leaned over in pain. Why the attitude? Idiot! Anastasia rolled her eyes and she growled. I'm not some human you can seduce. You could have killed us both. Through his grunting, Remy heard Nathan's rushed footsteps heading in their direction. He looked up with his hazy, weak eyesight, seeing Nathan gazing at the spectacle in complete shock. Knowing there wasn't anything Nathan could do, Remy quickly spoke. I'm fine. She missed. Again, he pulled at the wood. He felt the shards inching further from his chest, and he let go. Anastasia gathered herself and she turned to face Nathan. You wanted to talk to us, she said in a calm voice. Still focused on Remy, Nathan nodded. Yes, I need to talk to all of you. I'm fine. Gathering his strength, Remy stood to his feet. Well, nothing a little midnight snack can't cure. He limped into the study, followed by Veronica, Anastasia, and Nathan. He looked down at his wound, finding that his skin had already begun to heal itself. Part of his skin near the wound pulsated, and he reached in gently, pulling out a small sliver of wood. Nathan stood next to the large Roman statue of Apollo that stood near the back wall. You missed, or was that intentional, Anastasia? If I wanted to kill him, I would have. Her eyes moved to two black suitcases resting next to another Roman statue just inches away. Are you going somewhere? That's why I needed to talk to all of you, Nathan answered. I leave for Chicago come morning. Chicago? Veronica repeated as if she'd never heard of the city before. Is everything okay? Something came up, Nathan replied. I will be gone for a week. Upon hearing Nathan's answer, Remy looked to Veronica, reading her thoughts, wondering if his travel had anything to do with Lucius. He knew the streets of Chicago, overcrowded with hordes of demon and other hostile creatures. The demon in that city made the demon in Minneapolis look like fairies. But he seized this opportunity as his chance to get Veronica where he wanted her, under his wing, and trusting his every word. "Will you be comfortable staying here when I'm gone, Veronica?" He then looked to Anastasia and Remy. "And will you not try to stake Remy again?" Anastasia remained silent. "I won't be gone long," Nathan promised. She tilted her head to the side. "Does this have anything to do with your sickness?" He shot her a confused look. "No, I'm not sick. I'm perfectly healthy." Remy squinted. A demon had the ability to smell a human disease from a normal common cold to something as serious as cancer. He couldn't pick up on any scent, and he wondered if Anastasia had made a mistake. "I'm meeting an old friend down there," Nathan said. "No, not that," Anastasia interrupted. "I don't care about Chicago." In demon speed, she positioned herself in front of him. "Earlier, you smelled of sickness." She brushed her dark hair away from her shoulders. "I promise you, I'm fine." "Who is this friend? A demon?" Veronica asked. "A demon my father knew." Anastasia huffed. "Chicago is not safe for someone like you." "I will be okay," Nathan replied again. "Someone should go with you." "I will be fine. I will call you when I land." Anastasia turned and headed out of the room. Nathan sighed and turned to Veronica. "You have my number, Veronica, if you need anything." "She'll be fine," Remy replied. "I'll make sure of that." Nathan nodded with a look of concern in his eyes. "I have a few more things to pack." He left the study and slowly walked up the stairs to the second floor, disappearing from their sight. Veronica sighed, and from the corner of her eye she stared at Remy. She opened her mouth to speak, but remained silent. "So," Remy said, "still interested in my offer?" She bit her lower lip in thought. "Don't worry, the only blood spilled will be on my hands, I promise." "That's not what I'm worried about." She started to walk out of the study when Remy quickly blurted out, "I can give you Kai." She stopped in her tracks, and without looking back at him, she replied, "How could you do that?" "For someone like me, he wouldn't be hard to find." A wide grin appeared on his face.
Craving more dark supernatural fiction? Unlock early access to narrated chapters, exclusive lore, and behind-the-scenes secrets from the Demon Chronicles. Only on Patreon. Join the darkness now at patreon.com/IsaianMorrison.